Totally Hockey at the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship, Day 8. Well, it's a big hello, listener, as we're joined here on Day 8 by Tomáš Prokop from Daily Sport newspaper here in Slovakia.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening to you, Tomáš. And alongside him, it's the returning Tessa Bonhomme. Hello, Tessa.
Hello. Comfortable to be back.
Known to hockey fans throughout the world as Olympic gold winner with Canada, two-time world champion with Canada, and above all, Battle of the Blades winner, Tessa.
You looked that up after I told you that, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. So what was Battle of the Blades?
It's a reality TV show in Canada. It's actually, it took a couple of years off. It's coming back this season where they take hockey players and they turn them into Paris figure skaters.
Right.
So I learned how to do everything on figure skates. And those toe picks, let me tell you, they're nasty. They're mean. I have elbow chips in my elbow, permanent ones like gouges, not from hockey. From figure skating.
Figure skating. That's the real sport.
I grew up loving figure skating. I loved watching it. I loved playing hockey more, but it's like an extreme sport. They are insane. The things that they do, the things that they got me to do, first of all, were crazy in itself. Like, you're doing it and it's fun. And then you watch the video back and you're like, what was I thinking?
They've yet to make the equivalent program in reverse, no? Where they get figure skaters to play hockey.
Yeah, they're actually really good. So my partner in the show, David Pelletier, also Olympic gold medalist from the Olympics back in 2002 in Salt Lake, he is a very good hockey player. He skates like the wind. Nobody can keep up with him. It's just a matter of his hands being able to keep up with his feet. So they're all usually pretty good. It's just a matter of, do they have the stick handling skills?
Speed of execution at the top level is something quite extraordinary. As we've seen, the difference between teams that can and can't highlighted on this Friday, day 8 of the competition. Before we get into the matchups around Slovakia, let's have a quick check on the score lines. In Košice, Slovakia beat France and their late game wobbles, holding on for a 6-3 win. Meanwhile, Great Britain made a bright start but soon got finished by Kapu Kako & Co. in a 5-0 Finland win.
Jukka Harju centers and score! Lehtinen! And it's 5-0 on the power play goal.
In Bratislava, which team would get the first points in the Battle of Group B clash? The Norwegian would, beating Austria 5-3.
Slap shot, Paul scores! Christian Ball.
While also still without a point, Italy, who lost their fifth straight, 8-0, to the Czech Republic.
On for Gudas, on for Jaskin, and back for Gudas to the red line, scores!
Remember, you can check out highlights of all of those things and more on the excellent IIHF app. And there's goals as they go in on the IIHF social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and yes, YouTube. While you're checking those out, actually, be sure to have a look for the ref cam, which, Tomáš, have you seen this at all? The referees are skating around, they're mic'd up, and they have cameras on their helmets.
In our league, we had 2 or 3 years in a row, and it's one of the best things. Fans love it.
It's brilliant.
We're done!
I think it's great because referee officials can say, you know, why didn't you make that call? And they could say, well, I didn't see it. And then you just look on their helmet. It's like, well, you're actually looking right at them. So as a former player, that's how I feel.
Hey, 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 hey. Stop, play the puck.
Now, Tomáš, you've arrived in Bratislava today and you went straight to the fan zone near the arena here to check out Slovakia trying to get their second win of the tournament. And they were taking on France. And the good news is you got a lead and you held on to it this time.
Yeah, this is so true. It was on the start of the game, it was... players were nervous. They said that everything is behind them. They are looking forward and to the tournament and they have to play for the fans because quarterfinals are now so far. But on the start of the game, it looked like that they are nervous. But first goal helped them and then they score second. And that is goal quite okay. Offensive is very good on our side. And finally, they get it to the end.
Ironically, it's a man named Panic who helped quell the nerves. But so that was the first goal. Then Suka with the second. How good, though, was Libor Hudacek's third? Can you just describe that to anyone who wasn't watching?
Libor Hrudáček is a player who can do bad things, but he can do great things. And this is now when he start to, he looked like a superstar because he get a puck and he move with the puck very well. Then he goes from one side, he go from another side. I was calling with my colleagues that they asked him if he was thinking about it before he do it, and he said no. It's only happening this second. Maybe Tessa knows it like a former player that these things can happen. And Libor Hrudáček he's a great player when he got a feeling for the game, and when he's playing good, he can take the energy from the atmosphere. And this is the kind of play when it happened to him, like in Germany on the end of the second period when he scored a goal. And I think this is the maybe a little bit problem for our team that he was sick on the start of the tournament because coaches want him to play for the first center because center is the worst position for our team. We don't have so elite players on a center position in an NHL level. But Libor, he's a player that he's only playing in the Czech league. But when he play with guys like Tatar and Panik, it can help him. And when he's playing on this kind of level, he can play with these kind of players.
Well, that was pretty special. At that point, 3-0 up, the French are looking really dejected. But it's Slovakia. So what happens? Before you know it, the score's 3-2.
Yeah, it's the our problem.
I'm not gonna lie. I was I looked over. I wasn't at that game, nor was I watching. I was keeping an eye on it, but I saw the score, and then when I looked over and saw it was 3-2, I was thinking to myself, "Oh no, here we go again. Come on, guys, don't do this. You know, you can do it. Hold on." And I caught myself really cheering for them. Like you said, you know, the players say that they forget about this and they move on, but you can't help. As a human being, that when you're in that situation and these things start happening to you again, it's almost like, oh boy, here we go again. As a player, as a coach, as a fan, anybody. So awesome to see that they actually have moved on from it and didn't let, you know, France come back and make it a game.
Absolutely. Well, 6-3 is the final score. And maybe you've shaken off that particular problem. But the question is, Thomas, is it too late?
Yeah, I think it's too late. I am pessimistic in this.
What do you need to happen?
USA has 3 games, and they have to have, I think, only 4 points. We need to Germany beat USA overtime or shootouts, and Canada has to beat USA in regular time. And then when they get only 4 points and we win in both games, we can go to quarterfinals.
You need to win your 2 remaining games. Your next one's against Great Britain. We'll talk about them later on, but you probably fancy your chances there. And then Denmark, that last game.
Maybe someone said it is easier opponent, but we will see. I think that we are favorites. We can win, but I am very pessimistic that we have a still chance for the quarterfinals. But you are at home, and at home you want to win, and still you have to play like it's everything on the edge. And today I think in the third period it looked like that they want to win and they want to play because France are. They don't have so good team, but they are dangerous. With Canada, it was 3-3-0, and then they scored 2 goals, and then Canada scored 2 more. You can't let these kind of teams and show them that they can beat you.
It's true. France have looked spirited in pretty much every game they've played.
Well, think about it. You come in as the underdog in almost every game, and so who's the pressure on here? You really have nothing to lose because, quite frankly, you're supposed to lose. So you might as well go out there, give it your all, and put the pressure on the other team. And I think that's what's really working well in Slovakia's favor right now is that it's like, okay, guys, well, the chances are slim to none. There's still a chance, but they're slim to none. So we might as well go out there, empty the tank, and throw the pressure on everyone else. You know, let the Americans try and take down, you know, the Danes and Canada and Germany. You know, all of a sudden, they're going to see us in their rearview mirror, and maybe it might make them grip their sticks a little tighter. Mm. And, I mean, it happens. I played in the Canadian Women's Hockey League back in 2014 for the Toronto Furies. We had made the playoffs by 1 point. We were the last team to get in on the last day. People had counted us out, and we made it all the way to the finals. We were beating teams in overtime and in shootouts. And in the final game, we were playing against a team that had 8 Olympians on it. We had 2 on our team, so they basically had a line and a half. And we brought them to the third period. It was nothing, and we made it into overtime. And I remember walking in the locker room and looking at everyone, and it was like, we got them right where we want them. Pressure's on their court. We lose, so what? We were supposed to. They can't lose this. Imagine how they're feeling over there. They're tied with the worst team in the league that made it into the playoffs. And lo and behold, we got a dribbler that went in and we won.
Incredible.
Yeah, so, I mean, sure, I said it. I'm not going to lie. I was like you. I'm pessimistic. I think that it's a long shot, but there's still a shot.
Out of interest, which team has the most pressure on them at this tournament?
I honestly think Russia.
Yeah, really. Russia. Yeah.
I mean, if you can't win with that team, what are you going to win with?
Yeah, and Sweden, because triple is triple.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
Now, the other game in Group A saw Finland take on Great Britain and win 5-0. And as we speak, Ben Bounds and the boys have just got back to the GB team hotel after another tough night at the Worlds. And I'm delighted to say that Ben joins us now on the line. Ben, it's late. You just got back from the game. Thank you so much for talking to us. How tough was that?
To be fair, I thought that the guys did a really good job in front of me. We forced them to the outside a lot more than what we have been doing in the first few games. So we limited odd man rushes. We boxed out really well in front and we didn't give them too many second chances. So to be fair, there were a lot of shots, but a lot of them from the outside. So it probably were a lot less taxing on my body tonight than the first few matches.
A goalless first period, which kind of added to the growing Ben Bounds legend. And then what happened in the second?
I just think we switched off a little bit. I don't think we really put a foot wrong in the first or the third. The seconds, we switched off a little bit. I mean, they made a few nice plays leading up to the goals and a couple of really nice shots. So when you aren't switched on fully against those caliber of teams, they're going to punish you like they did tonight.
There were some proper goals. Ottomar's snipe was amazing. The speed of Kiviranta snatching that loose puck off your pads. Is that one of the differences at this level, just the speed of execution?
Yeah, I think so. The speed of execution, how quick the bang the puck about through the neutral zone, through our zone, on the PP, everything just that little bit quicker than what we used to be. I think you can see that compared to the first few games, we're really up to speed now pretty much, and we're competing with teams a lot better now that we've adapted.
What's been the best bit so far, Ben?
I think the best bit for me and most encouraging is the bounce back that we had after the Denmark game. Obviously, we had a good start to the tournament against Germany, put up a decent effort against Canada. We were disappointed to concede that many. But then, obviously, we had a bit of an embarrassing night against Denmark. So the bounce back and the character that the guys showed to put in a performance against the USA and then Finland today has been really positive.
What was that like? You were, halfway through the game with the United States and it's tied?
Yeah, well, it's a bit surreal. I mean, even the first game against Germany, I mean, we go right down to the last minute of the second period. And even that year, it's our first game in the tournament. You think, wow, this is crazy. I mean, we're right in it. And even with the US, I mean, like you said, we were tied for a little bit. And you look at the names on that roster and you're thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. But you can't really think that for too long during those games because you start thinking about something else or daydreaming, and then they're going to come right down and put the puck in your net.
That's actually something I was curious about. How much do the games just go by in a blur? Like when you look back on tonight, can you recall things specifically?
Yeah, I can usually recall most of the goals again, so obviously, because they're the mistakes that I make. So any mistakes a goalie makes, it ends up in the back of the net with a big red light going on. So they're what you learn from, and they're the plays that I always remember. But there's always bits when guys talk after the game. They'll mention something and you can always remember bits and bobs about the game and you can recall quite a bit of it. So it's crazy because you don't think about it, but it's funny how much you're taking in.
Is there one memory that's really standing out for you from this week so far? I don't know, maybe the save that went viral on Jack Hughes.
Yeah, well, that's got to be right up there as one of the best bits. It was kind of crazy how my phone blew up after that game. So yeah, that was kind of crazy. And then I know we got tweeted by the New Jersey Devils. They kind of quoted the tweet with me involved from the IHF. So that was kind of cool seeing that and getting that exposure in North America like I have.
Well, you've got two more games to go, Slovakia and then on Monday, France. And the atmosphere for that one, I'm sure, in Košice is going to be absolutely off the chain.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to that one tomorrow. It's you know, it's going to be a sellout. The Slovak fans are unreal. Anytime you come to these tournaments in Hungary last year, the Hungarian fans were amazing. So we know it's going to be a crazy building. It's going to be a lot of fun. But that's why you play these sports. You play at the top level and you expect these kind of crowds. And that's what makes it so fun to play in front of. And then the French game, hopefully our fans will outnumber theirs and make it a bit more of a GB-friendly atmosphere rather than what the Slovakia game will be. But no, that's going to be a tennis game, and that's something that we've got to go in and hopefully get a couple of points from the Slovakia game and a win against France, and we'll be in Switzerland next year. Fingers crossed.
Job done. Ben Bounds there, battered but unbowed. Tessa and Thomas, looking at the problems that GB have had and particularly Italy have had, how does a team make the leap from Division 1 to the World Championship and stay there. How can they avoid this massive chasm that there seems to be?
I think the problem for them, they have to think about on maybe one or two matches where they can play very good. Because when they are playing against the favorites, I don't want to say that play less harder and these kind of things, but you have to think about one or two games. I know it from, for example, our national teams under 20 or under 18. When they want to stay on the elite level, there are only 8 or 10 nations, and they have to be the one or two countries to stay there and maybe then playing for the quarterfinals. I think this is the main thing for them, because it can happen that Great Britain can beat USA or Canada because the level is maybe 3 levels up.
I agree. And even, you know, today with Italy, you know, they didn't play Bernard because they're saving him for the final two games where they want to take points. And as you mentioned, in those games where you're playing against those top end teams, when Italy's playing Russia, you know, they're not running their first two lines into the ground. As a coach, you want to give them ice and you want to give them time to gain that, I guess, chemistry in the D zone. But nonetheless, you want your third and fourth lines to gain that experience. And I call it depositing in the experience bank. And the more deposits you make, the better, because inevitably you're going to withdraw. And that's where they're going to start withdrawing, is in these last couple of games.
Well, the Italians were making deposits with Czechs today.
I think so. Yeah, I do. They held them off the scoreboard and played them pretty well for a while. I think it helped that they got Tommaso Traversa in after they sustained an injury there. And he's obviously a seasoned vet. He's been with the team. He scored a goal against Russia the last time Italy was in the World Championship. So he knows what it takes to score a goal, and especially against a top-notch nation like Russia. So I think that, you know, having that voice in the locker room means a lot. And obviously, you know, I talked to him at the end of the game and I was like, you know, you got asked to come out here after an injury, and next thing you know, you come here and you're on the first line and you're playing a lot of minutes. You know, was that decision hard to come over? And he said, absolutely not. I'm playing for my nation. This is what I want. This is what I want to do. I want to play just like every guy out there. And so I think that, you know, they've got a good thing going. They all understand, much like I'm sure Great Britain does, that these are learning experiences. These are moments where, whether you get relegated or not, you want that experience not only to carry with yourself moving forward, but also to share with the newcomers that are coming up.
Well, they've done a lot of up and down, haven't they, Italy? And it's not certain that they're going to go down. Certainly their record in this championship has been particular, 38 goals conceded, none scored. But it now comes down to what they can do, I guess, against Austria and what Austria can do against them. Because while Italy on this Friday lost 8-0 against the Czechs, a flurry of scoring in that final period, I think, three goals by the Czech Republic in less than 2 minutes, just when you thought that they'd pretty much cooled the game off. Meanwhile, the Austrians lost to Norway in a battle of two teams that were both looking to record their first points. Did you see this game, Tomáš?
Yeah, I was watching a little bit. I think in 45 or 48 minutes it was 2-2, and then the Norway beat them up on the end of the game. I think Austria has quite a good team. I don't want to say that they are great, really. It's the Russians here, Sweden, full of the NHL players. But Austria, it's, I think, a good squad. They can play with team like Norway. Italy, I think they are looking forward. This is the team they wanna beat up. I was watching the game, the friendly game before the World Championship when they play against Canada. It was 4-4. And then Canada, on the end of the game, won 7-4. They look very good. The advantage is that in the EBA League, Salzburg is very good. Salzburg is one of the maybe 15 best teams in the Europe when you are not counting the KHL, because KHL is not playing in the Champions League. From Salzburg and from these kind of teams, they have very good players. This is their advantage against Italy. They are playing on a higher level.
This game, as you mentioned, had a bit quite a crazy third period. Went to 2-2. It had all begun with that magnificent slap shot from Christian Bull. Even if you weren't watching, you'll have heard that one resounding around the town. Then Austria drew level, and then Norway went ahead, and then they drew level again, and then Norway pulled clear at the end. And Bull ended up with a hat-trick. Norway have Italy next, and then Austria face the Italians in their final game. And that's, I guess, going to determine who sticks around in this World Championship. On to day 9 then, and it's a biggie. In Košice, Denmark take on USA, Canada take on Germany, and Great Britain try their luck with Slovakia. In Bratislava, there's Latvia, Russia, Italy, Norway, and Sweden, Switzerland. 6 tasty games, one in particular stands out. Sweden, Switzerland, which is interesting because firstly, it's a great test of whether the Ice Gunnarsson are really medal contenders. Their form four wins, just two goals conceded, says they are. But veteran Andras Ambul says the real stuff is yet to come.
Yeah, we had a good start so far, but now the really tough games are coming up. And yeah, tomorrow we play Sweden and there's still some revenge to do.
And that's the other reason that this game has everyone's interest. Revenge on Sweden. Twice Switzerland have reached the World Championship final and twice they've lost there to the Swedes in 2013 and just last year, when it couldn't have been any closer. The Swiss losing in a shootout after a wide-open Kevin Fiala had missed their big chance in overtime.
Dean Kukan works in, has the room, centers it. Oh, what a chance. Fiala shoots, Nilsson gets down. Fiala has it, and the puck stays out. Fiala can't believe he missed.
12 months on, Kevin says it's among his worst days ever.
Yes, for sure, one of them. I mean, it's never nice to lose a final, for sure, and especially in a shootout, it was sad. Yeah, now it's a new tournament, you know, new year, so we're very excited for this.
How much does what happened last year fuel this team, your success so far this tournament?
Yeah, it was a great tournament for us all. I think it's just awesome to see what we can do, you know. In the room, we believe we can do it, you know, but outside, I don't think anybody did. So now it's nice that people can see what we can do, you know.
Have you been looking forward to facing Sweden again?
We've played them so many times in the past years. We know what they can do, and we know what we have to do to beat them. Play fast, compete. That's a team, they like to skate, you know, they like to have time. If you're going to be on them, they're going to have trouble for sure.
So, 365 days on from that Copenhagen final, off they go again. What do you think, Tessa, about Switzerland's chances? It wouldn't be revenge because it's not a final, but can they actually beat them this time?
I think in the round robin, anything's possible. I think the fact that Nino Niederreiter isn't going to be with them yet definitely hurts their chances a little bit because he's such a huge addition.
Let's just back up because this is a very exciting new arrival, fresh out of Carolina.
Yeah, Nino Niederreiter is going to come over and join the Swiss team, which I think will be a massive addition. Unfortunately, he won't be playing with them for this rematch of last year's final. Nonetheless, I feel like anything can happen in the round robin. You know, coaches are still tinkering with things. Players are still getting used to each other. Obviously, there's people are fighting for positions in terms of standings and who they want to play in the quarterfinals and whatnot. But I feel like if Switzerland continues to play with the pace that they're playing at, I think that, you know, they're definitely going to give Team Sweden a run for their money. And I think Sweden knows that because obviously what took place last year. I don't know if people really believed Switzerland belonged last year. And I feel like they maybe took them a little bit too lightly as the tournament went on. But that doesn't take away from the fact that they did put up fantastic matches against great teams and really held them to that. And I think that what helps them be successful and get that far is the discipline that they have within their systems. And, you know, now that they made it that far last year, they've got all these players that have returned and been there and done that now. And all of a sudden, you know, confidence goes a long way. It's not only in yourself and in your teammates, but it's also in your coaches and in your systems. And when you do have confidence like that, you know, oftentimes you're in a game and something goes wrong and your coach says, it's okay, guys, stick with it. You know, sometimes in the back of your mind, you're like, this isn't working, man. Like, can you just change something? But now they know that when, you know, Patrick Fisher says, it's all right, guys, stick with it. They're like, yeah, we just got to stick with it. We got this. And to have that belief and that confidence moving forward and that experience that we talked about earlier, I think that goes a long way for them. So for Sweden, their work's really going to be cut out for them. They're really going to have to get on them early if they want to walk away with this game handedly and really make them try to fight their way back into the game.
Right.
You know, the second you let them in it or you crack that door open a little bit, I think Switzerland does a pretty good job of wedging their foot in there and making sure that they stick around.
Two things are very important for the Swiss team. One is that they are playing this kind of style I think 10 or 15 years. It's a very big thing that they are going from youth to the national team and they are still playing the same kind of system.
What's the system?
For me, it's a little bit hard to watch sometimes, but it's very defensive. It's very defensive, and Swiss are, I think, one of the worst opponents when they score the first goal. They start playing in the defense, and it's hard to go there, and they are disciplined. They don't have so many penalties and these kind of things. And second thing is that they have a generation which goes to the NHL and play on the great level. And they are coming back to the national team. They have still 4, 5, 6 players who are the key players for their team. It's not their Swiss league is very good, but mm-hmm. They need these players. When the Nino Niederreiter arrives, I think they have a second scorer because Kevin Fiala is great, and now can they put him to the power play and Roman Josi on the blue line and two shooters. It will be very good. But I would like to see them against Sweden because fourth game what they have. The opponents wasn't so stronger. And for Sweden, it's this game very important because they start slowly with the Czechs. And I think a very important game this is for the Henrik Lundqvist. When he will be in the goalie, it's a very important game for him, because he loses with Czechs. He loses with Czechs two times, because he loses with Czechs on the friendly tournament before the World Championship. He needs a win against a strong opponent.
We had Klausen the other day, who was confidently predicting that Switzerland were every bit as good or perhaps even better than last year. But as you were saying, Thomas, the results so far have been against weaker opposition. Sweden, Russia and the Czech Republic, the next three games. That's going to be the mother of all exams.
Yeah, and I think just to piggyback off of what you said with the style and the way they play, and now that they have those players like Nico Hischier, Meyer, who is in here, you know, Niederreiter, Fiala, all these guys, they play very much a disciplined sit and wait. But with this team, instead of just sitting and waiting for your opportunity is what I mean, their guys make you pay when you make that whoopsie. Kevin Fiala hops on it, or even if you're caught sleeping a little bit, these guys will make you pay because, as mentioned, they are the top guys in the NHL and they do produce on a regular basis against these top teams. So, yeah, I mean, tough games, but at the same time, they're a tough opponent. So I definitely wouldn't count Switzerland out by any means.
Sweden looked awesome yesterday against Austria, but many teams do. It's going to be, that's the game of the day, really, I think, on Saturday. Other hockey games are available. Amongst them, in Group B, there's Italy, Norway, and also Latvia, Russia. Latvia are just 3 points off a quarterfinal position or a place in the top four in Group B right now, but they're taking on Russia. If you're Latvia coach Bob Hartley, how do you prepare this?
You have to hold first period to 0-0 is the main thing, because Russians, they want to beat you up from the first minute, and you have to be disciplined. There was a problem for the Latvians yesterday. They played great first period against Czechs, but they start to do some fouls, and then they skating a little bit harder in the second period, and Czechs scored four goals, and they turn around the game. But Latvians, I think they are very good. They have great power plays. Yesterday, two nicest goals of the evening. The first goal in the power play, and then Darzinc when he built all the defense. It will be interesting, but I still think the Russians, they like the countries which was former Soviet Unions, because the play maybe is similar, but they don't have a so good quality. And Russians, I love to play against Latvia, like against the Belarus and these kind of nations.
So Latvia are essentially playing them at their own game.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think, Tessa? What would you do? If you were setting them up for the...
If I'm Latvia, I mean, I feel like, you know, they like to skate with teams. I feel like they can keep up. It's just a matter for how long. So if I'm Latvia, I'm looking at the game against, you know, Russia against Czech, you know, and you're looking at their all four lines. I wanted to say a top line, but their top four lines. You got to play in your face hockey. You can't let them gain that speed out of their zone. So their defensemen need to be confident enough to stay up on their forwards and not let them gain that speed through the neutral zone. Because when they do, they easily make those little 5 foot passes once they get inside the blue line, and all of a sudden everything's pretty and it's a cross ice feed. And next thing you know, the puck's in the back of your net and the water bottle blew off the back. But when you're in your D zone, I feel like for Latvia, it's just got to be protect the middle. Let them play outside all they want and try and get those shots through. You got a fantastic goalie in Merzlikins if they decide to play him that can handle those shots. I mean, he's a top-notch goalie, A-class. I love watching him play. And he's going to be able to find those shots when they come through a busy middle of the ice. But for the most part, your job is to clog up the middle of the ice, block shots, and don't let those cross-ice passes go through. Because, I mean, yeah, these guys can thread the needle like the best of them. It's a beautiful thing to see. But I think that the more you take away their speed through the neutral zone and the more you clog up the middle and not allow that, the more difficult you make it for them to ramp up the score.
That game coming up midday in Slovakia in Group B. In Group A, Tessa, your Canadian friends are taking on Germany.
I know. Holy.
You had a bit of a wobble with the French.
Yeah.
How are things with the Canadians?
You know what? This game worries me a little bit. And I feel like for whatever reason, this team likes making the game a little bit harder on themselves than it needs to be at times. And also Leon Draisaitl. I mean, this kid's coming off scoring 50 goals in the NHL. Like, one off of Ovi. I mean, so he's an unbelievable hockey player to boot, but he's hot in this tournament. He's got 3 goals in the past 4 games, one that you probably won't like, the game winner against your team. I'm not rubbing that in by any means or being cheeky. It's just he's on fire. And when he's going, his team's going. And I can tell you that he loves donning that jersey. When the World Championship were in Cologne and the Edmonton Oilers got knocked out, the first thing he said was, "I'm coming." And, right. You know, I feel like the reporters didn't even have to ask him. And all of a sudden, Germany was just on fire. Everybody was so amped. Everybody was fired up. That team really thought they were going to do something good. He came in and got a goal and assist, I think, in his first game back. He's a difference maker, and he wants to be, not only at this level, but in the NHL. He's a player that wants to be the guy. And so, you know, if he's going, then the team's going. And it's not like he's not used to playing against these Canadian guys, because he plays against them as a job on a regular basis. So I don't think there'll be any confidence lacking there.
There has been a bit of a question about Germany, even though they've started brilliantly, won all their games so far, with regard to the quality of their opposition. Slovakia, probably the toughest team they've had to face so far. So based on what you've seen, do you think they're for real, that they're medal chances?
When I say about Germany, they are saying that they have so many young players in their roster, and it's some kind of changing because they have new coach and these kind of things. But with Leon Draisaitl, I'm 100%, you are right. One more thing, he's a silent killer. Against Slovakia, you haven't seen him, I don't know, 55 minutes. I don't know that he was playing. Really, when they have power play, really, he was great. But then he was only in the skating. You think that he's some kind of guy from the checking line. But then this happened on the end of the game, and he killed us. He killed us. You can't let him few meters or few centimeters free ice. And he's a great skater. He has great shoot, but he's a great passer. He's a great passer. This lot of people are forgot about this. They're saying that he's playing with Connor McDavid in the Oilers, and everybody can score with Connor McDavid. But he's a great passer, and he's a great passer and skater that he can play on this level. Germans are very disciplined. They can play for 0-0, I don't know, 40 minutes, and they don't care. They don't care. And this will be, for the Canada, will be big thing to score goals against them in the first period, and then they maybe be up. But it can be very interesting when Germans can be disciplined and they don't give Canada so many space.
Canada, you don't need to worry. You got Anthony Mantha.
Yeah, he's been playing fantastic, I got to say. The one thing that the Canadians need to make sure that they continue to do, if they want to be successful in this game or in this tournament, quite frankly, I'm not saying it's the difference maker, but at times it is, and it is the difference in making the knockout rounds or not, is specialty teams and their power play scored at least a goal in every game. So if they can continue to keep that red hot, I think that that'll definitely help them. But with that, I mean, you got to play the style of hockey that's going to make teams draw penalties against you. So with that comes speed, comes grit, you know, sometimes getting the goalie's face, making a guy face wash you and hopefully give you a little nudge in the nose.
Making the guy face wash?
Face wash you, where
okay,
they put their glove in your face.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's gross. It grosses me out because some gloves are so smelly. Like some people have the worst smelling gloves. I call them Dorito mitts. Like they smell like Cool Ranch Doritos. They're so bad. And imagine getting that in the face. That would upset me so much. That's why I'm glad I played women's hockey with the cages.
Right.
Because, I mean, sure, you could push me in my cage, but it's not like your dirty gloves are going to go anywhere near my mouth.
Wow. See, this is a whole side of hockey that I hadn't even considered. Thomas.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you want, we could.
No, that's fine.
No?
Yeah, yeah.
Thomas, do you want it? We could take them out back.
Face wash me. No, really don't. Thomas, I think you had an important tactical point.
I want to say one more thing. Anthony Mantha is playing great tournament, but for me, he's three key players for the Canada in the power play. Chabot on the blue line, and Stone and Merchysu. When they are playing the triangle with them in the passes, and they are scoring from the first shot, it's so great. And from this is the main reason why Canada is keeping up, because we have to say they don't have so many players who are on the first or second lines in an NHL, and these three guys, they are the main guys for them to be success.
Canada-Germany is the 4:15 face-off on Saturday. Also coming up in Group A from Košice, Denmark against USA. What does Slovakia need from that game?
Denmark-USA. When Denmark grab a point, it will be a big thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Denmark currently 3 points behind the United States, so it's a must-win game for them as well after their loss to Finland. USA adding forward Luke Kunin from the Minnesota Wild to their lineup. I'm not sure if he's available for this game, but he's coming in apparently.
I haven't heard. I got the media release to say that he did say yes, he was joining them. When he decides to fly in and join the team is completely on him. Some players like to take a day or two when they get in, and other players like to jump right in, like Landeskog and Wennberg.
Extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And that just leaves one game, which is Great Britain against Slovakia. Thomas, we've talked about Slovakia and we've talked about Great Britain. Anything you want to add at this point? The atmosphere is going to be amazing.
The atmosphere will be amazing. The British fans, when I was in Košice, they were great. I was so surprising because really I didn't know that Great Britain has so many hockey fans. So great. This is the one of the things that I hope that in Great Britain the ice hockey will grow up to big thing because their fans are great. And the team is dangerous when they show against the USA that when you give them chance, they can play to the heart of the game. I am still thinking about last year. I was watching their game against Hungary. Hungary play at home and they celebrate all the game. It was, I think, and Great Britain scored last two goals, I think in last 2 minutes and 1 minute and a half. And then they go to straight division. We will see. I think that Slovakia is big favorites because our offensive game is very good on the tournament, but we will see. But the atmosphere will be great.
You take actual shots on goal, which might prove the difference in this game. We'll see tomorrow, but may the best team win and all that.
Yeah.
Thomas and Tessa, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
It's going to be a huge weekend here at the World Championship, and we'll be across it all on the Totally Hockey Show. If you've enjoyed this edition, don't forget to rate and review us and share and subscribe as well. And check out the IIHF app for all the latest news from the Ice Hockey World Championship. That's it for today. We'll catch you at the end of day 9.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Muddy Knees Media production in association with In Front.